Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush, Sick Edition Part 2, but on a Monday. It's 2 minutes past the last recording, so Noel's elbow still hurts. His wrist still hurts. I'm still sick. Go.
How's my pride, Chuck? I think it's okay.
You all right?
Yeah. Well, just because I had to bail out on that scooter spectacularly, and my pride took a bit of a hit, but I think it's healed over the past few days.
Were you by yourself?
Well, I was with my friend Frank, but he was up ahead.
Okay.
And I was kind of the straggler, and he didn't even see it go down.
So Frank was like, "Where were you?" And you're like, "Oh, nothing happened."
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, "High five, scooting." And you're like, my left hand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I told you, I think, I might have even said on the show about the time in college when I saw the guy bust ass on his bike on campus.
Oh, no.
Kind of one of the funniest things I've ever seen. A guy was riding, and I'm sorry if I've told the story before, everyone, but he was riding his bike on the campus of the University of Georgia. He totally busted ass, fell on the ground face first, bike wheels spinning in the air, books scattered all over the street. And this dude, Noel, puts his hand under his chin, laying on the ground, opens a book, and pretends like he's reading.
Yeah, that's very similar to what happened with me.
It was one of the best moves I've ever seen. And I still wonder to this day, like, who are you, sir? Where are you in the world now? Where have those talents taken you to be able to play something else with such a skill and aplomb? Man, that was good. All right, so because I'm sick, everyone, and went to bed super early last night, I did not prepare any usual Movie Crush stuff, like social studies. I spent all those in the Sick Edition from Friday. So what we're doing here is a Movie Crushers tribute episode, Noel. Because as everyone knows, there's the Movie Crush page and there's the Movie Crushers subpage, which is for the superest of fans and the oldest of pals. And they have so much great stuff going on and people are really playing along and posting a bunch of really fun games and questions and interactive stuff. And it just makes me smile every time I go over there and check stuff out. So I am stealing some of it for our own purposes. How does that sound?
It sounds lovely, Chuck.
We're going to start off with Dave Priest. Just about a day ago, called for the funniest movie scene ever. Do you have one, Noel? Off the dome?
No, I've got a couple. I saw the movie Hot Rod over the weekend, which I really
enjoyed.
I never
saw that.
It's really funny.
Is it?
It's the Lonely Island guys and all that.
Yeah,
I mean, Sandberg.
Sandberg's great.
There's one scene where he is like in the forest doing this like weird Zen kind of frolicking meditation ritual,
uh-huh.
And he falls down a hill. But he falls for like 5 minutes, and it's just, I'm a big fan of pratfalls and physical comedy like that.
Yeah,
Taken to the nth degree. Another one that comes to mind, I think I've mentioned this before, is that scene in Wolf of Wall Street where Jonah Hill and Leonardo DiCaprio are
on
Quaaludes, uh-huh. And they're just crawling around each other and just like getting wrapped up in the phone line. It's just, that's just good physical comedy. Makes me laugh so
Agreed.
Hard.
Agreed. By the way, have you seen, sorry to get distracted already, but have you seen the early marks for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, everyone says it's great.
I can't wait.
The trailer looks fantastic.
I've heard a bit of redemption for Tarantino.
What did he need redemption for?
No, I mean, Hateful Eight wasn't the best reviewed film.
I enjoyed Hateful Eight.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
But the reviews that I read said a bit of a comeback toward the Pulp Fiction days.
Yeah, you know, it looks like a big old fun LA movie.
Yeah.
You know, and a period piece to boot.
So. Yeah, and apparently has like a knockout ending that Tarantino himself has wrote a very kind letter at the Cannes Film Festival to the journalists saying, please do not give away anything.
I saw that.
Yeah. He did it in a great way, I think.
And you just said we all love cinema, and yeah. the biggest part of that is coming fresh to a thing, experiencing and it.
Please allow
time.
Others to experience this yes. the same way that you have.
Yeah, and he didn't say
Dick.
It. Yeah, exactly, right? He didn't throw that in. No, I think I'm sure it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. In 2 days, the Rocket Man, the Elton John film, comes out. And I believe this week, Deadwood comes out.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
I don't know what to do, Noel. I don't have enough time to go to all those movies.
Well, Deadwood's on the TV, right?
Oh, that's right. I think you're right.
On the TV, right?
It's on the TV. Cocksucker. If you don't watch Deadwood, by the way, that was
He didn't just pull that out of nowhere. Chuck, you foul mouth so-and-so.
Oh, and also, Noel, I filled a hole, and I'm going to fill the other two. I watched John Wick, and boy, did I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I watched part two over the weekend with a friend. And I realized—
For the first time?
For the first time, but I thought I had seen part one, but I realized I hadn't.
Whoa.
So I need to go back and watch part one.
So you never saw John Wick?
I saw John Wick 2.
Wow. I don't know what to say about that.
I'm sorry, man.
I thought you were a Wicker, so—
Nope. Okay. I'm a Wicker man.
I have you confused with someone else. So I'm going to watch part two. They have a good deal going, Noel, on Apple iTunes. You can buy John Wick 1 and 2 for $9.99. Or if you're a sucker, you can rent them for $5.99 each. Do the math. All right. So funniest movie scenes ever. We'll start it off with Brent A. Price, The Cat in the Ashes and Meet the Parents. Keith Edwards says, a sight gag in Clue, when everyone is running around, they all collide on the second level. Seen that movie 100 times and it still cracks me up. Yeah. Agreed. You know how I love that movie. All right. We're going to go to Will Thomas, Tommy Boy, restaurant scene. Tommy like wingy. Leah Mitchell, Tommy Boy. Deer breaking out of the convertible. I never seen Tommy Boy, Noel. Have you?
Yeah, it's the one where he puts on, there's the fat guy in a little coat. That's a famous scene as well. He's like, fat guy in a little coat. And then he rips David Spade's coat.
Skylar Banks is Tommy Boy when he lights the model car on fire. I think I need to see Tommy Boy.
It's funny. That one's funny. That's the funniest one. Because then they did it again. Like Black Sheep, it was very similar pairing with Spade and Farley.
Yeah.
Very similar, where like, you know, Spade was kind of his babysitter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dynamic there. R.I.P., sir. Jeff Noel, our old friend, the self-destructing play performance in Noises Off. Yeah, man, Noises Off, that's a classic. And he got a comment there that, you know, not enough people know about that film. I think I agree with that. George Ferris says, 22 Jump Street. Schmidt fucked the captain's daughter. Yeah, that was a good scene. That was a funny movie.
I haven't seen either one of those.
I don't think I saw the second one.
Wait, didn't you say 22 Jump Street?
Yeah.
Isn't that the second one?
Yeah.
The first one is 21 Jump Street.
Right.
So you didn't see the one in question here?
No, I did see both.
Okay, cool.
I'm just...
You definitely knew the reference.
Yeah. I'm sick. Give me a break, Noel.
I was just making sure.
Becca Lou, our old friend, says... terrible movie called Bong Water starring Luke Wilson and Andy Dick. Luke's character's house burned down and he's staying with Andy Dick's character. Over breakfast, they're talking and Andy Dick says, guess who just quit smoking? Luke asks who and Andy Dick says, your house. I guess that gets her every time. Michael O'Neill, the barbershop scene in Coming to America. Certainly a good one. Art Riddle says, Black Sheep, Farley falls down the mountain. Dodger Phillips, our old friend, says, The World According to Garp, either when he and his new wife are looking to buy their first home, or later when you see the look on his wife's face while wearing a neck brace. Yeah, that was a good movie. More Tommy Boy. Where have I been, Noel?
Watching other things.
Paul Skoronsky says, The bathroom scene in Dumb and Dumber. Sure, that's body humor at its maximum.
Is there pooping?
Yeah, remember Dumb and Dumber with Jeff Daniels on the toilet?
Oh, yeah. I wonder how they do the Foley for that. You think it's like a lot of balloons?
I don't know, man. I
think a lot of just dudes blowing into their hands.
I'd love to get a Foley artist in here.
That'd be fun. Hasn't really happened yet. You know, I know one. You should get Michael, I forget his last name now. He does a lot of music for Adult Swim, and we interviewed him on the animation podcast me and Holly Fry did from Stuff You Miss in History Class. And he is local and is very much a Foley artist.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
I think we should. Yeah, I'll figure out.
Yeah, let's hook it up.
He's great.
I thought there was nothing cooler to me when I was a kid than seeing a special on Foley artists when they would do a split screen and show what's happening on the movie and then show the Foley artist at work walking around on like light bulbs or punching a ham steak or something. Mm-hmm. It's just the coolest thing ever.
It's neat too because there's that thing they do where they have like a wooden pit that they build because it contains the sounds just enough and they mic it so close that it gives the sense of more of a contained environment as opposed to just doing it in an open room.
Right.
So it's almost like a raised flower bed of like wood on the
sides. And that's their little stage?
And that's what they stomp around in and they fill it with sand or whatever, you know?
Wow.
It's really neat. Lots of little tricks that you wouldn't think, but they've figured out how to do over time, you know?
Yeah, and I love that they have attached the word artist to that title. You know, it's really appropriate, I think. Karen Petrick, she actually just posted a meme of the chest waxing scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin. Great, great scene. Because, you know, Steve Carell got really – he really got waxed there, Noel. I'm sure everyone knows that by now.
Oh, he did, huh?
Sure, that wasn't fake.
You ever gotten a wax, Chuck?
Emily used to do my – I'm not the hairiest guy in the world, but I do have some of the neckline creepers.
Right.
So she used to do my upper back occasionally.
Yep. Same.
But that's when we all cared.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't
Same.
Really care.
I had it happen once. My ex-wife was an esthetician, and she did it actually just to practice, I think. I think that was her guinea pig.
Sure.
And it wasn't fun. I definitely don't envy the ladies that have to do that or choose to do it that way.
Yeah.
You know, on the reg.
On the reg. Let me see here. Let's do a few more of these funny scenes. Much appreciated, David, for this, by the way. Chrissy Nadine goes with Wolf of Wall Street, but not that scene, Noel. The party scene where DiCaprio does that kind of funky break dance in the tuxedo. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I do. Is that where they're like tossing the little people?
It's this one right there.
Yes.
When he's doing those moves?
That's a different scene.
That is really funny.
He is so funny in that. He is a really good physical comedian. I'm coming around to liking Leo.
I love him, man. People bag on him still. I don't get it.
My whole thing, and I think I've told you this, is I just always feel like he looks too young for the roles he plays. But that's not his fault. He's not young anymore. He's properly middle-aged. But I just think of him as being a tiny child.
Yeah.
Because he's got this baby face, you know, still.
And we've all seen him grow up since.
Right.
What was
Different Strokes?
No, it was
Family Guy. Family Matters.
Yeah, he was when he was a young cartoon on Family Guy.
Yeah, that's right.
And grew up into an adult, real human.
I will say this though: the thing that looks really cool about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is like both he and Brad Pitt have this like grizzled, leathery look to their faces. Like it's just very like Steve McQueen kind of like it's got that vibe. I really
like
it.
Which if you know you spend time in LA and you see those people that are just sun-kissed for 40 years, and they have this sort of leathery, otherworldly look. Scott Marvel says, for me, it's the photograph sequence in the credits of The Hangover. That was really funny.
Yep, and it was, you know.
It was kind of the perfect way to end that film.
It was the perfect way to end the film because that was The Hangover. That was the part in question, right?
Yeah.
Not The Hangover. That was the kind of the blackout period.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get to see exactly what happened. You weren't
really
expecting it.
Pretty brilliant.
It's great.
They were so funny, too. I bet they had a lot of fun taking those shots.
I bet.
Amina Stimler, she posted a meme, too. A lot of people are doing that. I guess that's the thing. Kristen Wiig, the flight scene in Bridesmaids. When Kristen Wiig is not in first class and gets tanked.
That's right.
Oh, God, that was so good. Man, she's funny.
She is funny. I don't know if this is the right time to bring this up, but really quickly, you know, Kristen Wiig had a film that was going to shoot here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And she pulled it because of this horrible heartbeat bill that we have going on. I'm wondering how that's going to affect our industry, Chuck.
I know.
I'm kind of concerned.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Well, I mean, just briefly. I don't know. I think it's a big deal. I mean, obviously, it's a horrible thing to begin with, but I think it's so short-sighted of our, you know, government to not realize that people aren't going to stand for it, and we're going to lose business. And that's we've been building this for years. It's just so petty and short-sighted, and they're just trying to, you know, it's all about like a political ploy to like get Roe v. Wade overturned, and I just don't. I don't get it, Chuck.
Yeah, it is. Not only is it dangerous legislation, but it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
To be lumped in as just this backward place.
Yep.
And just so the non-Georgians out there listening know, they've done polls and 70% of Georgians are pro-choice. And we have a governor who is literally going against the will of his constituents and saying that he is invoking the will of the people. And it's just not true.
Nope.
And it's really fucked up.
It's sad.
And that's all I'm going
to
say about that right
that's
now.
That's all we need to say about that.
And that's all I have to say about that right now.
I just hope I hope, you know, because money talks, so I hope that if enough production companies threaten to pull and it's very much a real threat, then maybe something will change. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see.
Moving on.
All right. Noel, we're going to move on to another Movie Crusher curated segment. So, Noel, this one got a lot of great feedback. This is from our old friend Vanessa Cashman, because I'm not sure if you know this, Noel, but a show called Game of Thrones just wrapped up.
More like Game of Groans, am I right?
And, well, go ahead, because this is what I want to know. As a non-watcher, what are your feelings? I guess you can spoil, so let's just... say if you haven't watched the end of Game of Thrones and you're going to one day, tune out for the next couple of minutes.
I'm not even going to get into specifics. I don't think it's even worth it. All I'm going to say is that none of the motivations of the characters to do the actions that they ended up doing on the show made any sense. And the show was built on really intricate character development that was very expertly laid over the course of many seasons and several. Most of the most important characters in the show just made these bizarre, like, heel turns in the last two or three episodes.
Really?
And it just reeked of desperation. It reeked of, like, let's get this done. Let's get to a conclusion. Let's make it happen. Let's get these characters from A to X. And there was just no in-between. And I know, you know, say what you will about George R.R. Martin, but if these were the choices that he actually wanted for these characters, he would have devoted a lot of time and ink to having it make sense for them to get to where they ultimately got. So I found a couple episodes in the last season pretty satisfying, but the last two were just head scratchers, and I was just like, Jesus.
All right, so all the criticism that I've read about you feel is totally warranted.
I do.
And what's the deal? George R. R. Martin is still finishing the last book, is
that
correct?
The last two books, dude.
And so HBO couldn't wait, and they just sort of went off and did their own thing?
What I have heard is that the showrunners for Game of Thrones, D.B. Weiss and David, Benioff.
Benioff?
Yeah, Benioff. They received outlines for the character arcs from all the main characters.
From Martin?
From Martin.
Oh,
so that's why I'm saying if the way it ended up going was Martin's desire, was what he had in mind, I hope he damn well does a better job of it than they did, because this just didn't make any sense in terms of, like, what you know about these characters for them to end up where they ended up. I'm not even going to spoil it for anybody, because it's just, you know, watch it.
Well, is it plausible that he wanted them to end up there, but in two books you can do it in such a way that
that's what I'm saying.
It really feels right?
That's what I'm saying. Because
and they just had to rush it?
They had to rush
TV.
It.
Okay.
And I think HBO wanted two seasons, but these dudes, I think they got a Star Wars franchise or something, and it seemed like they were out the door. It seemed like they had fucking senioritis on this last season. Like, seriously.
I mean, it's a slog to shoot that show, sure.
Oh, listen. I understand that, and I know that anybody on that worked on that show, hearing some tool like me criticizing it, you know, I understand how much that would make you want to punch me in the face. But think about it from, like, how good the previous seasons were and how earned every character arc felt. And then for them to just kind of rush it out like that, I felt like it was kind of an insult to the characters and to the show and to the people that spent so many years, dude.
Did you sign the
watching
petition?
This show. No, because that's just idiotic. What are you gonna,
sure.
They're not going to rewrite the last season.
No, I know, but it was a statement.
It's a statement, but, like, and again, I'm not, like, dying on this hill or anything. I was just personally disappointed.
Yeah.
And I think that's my right to be disappointed.
Absolutely.
And the craftsmen and women and people and that worked on the show, genius. Beautiful. Beautifully shot. Beautiful visual. The writing, just not very good.
Hmm.
Acting was just fine. It just, I don't know. It just really took a nosedive in quality. And you could sense the rush. You could smell the desperation.
All right. Thanks for that take. Very valuable.
Was it hot?
It
was a hot take.
It wasn't hot, but it's good stuff. So Vanessa said, this was after the ending. She said, just curious, what TV series do you think actually had a good and satisfying ending? It's tough to wrap up a TV series, Noel. It's hard.
Yeah.
I've got a few that I can think of. The ending to Breaking Bad was
incredible.
Great.
Incredible.
Really good finale and final season, I think.
Yeah. Earned. Everything that happened to that character, you were like, oh, yes, that makes sense. And there's twists, and even the twists make sense. You know what I mean? Like, all of it.
Yeah.
Everything felt just so, you know?
Yeah, the Seinfeld ending always got a lot of grief, and I think that is because Seinfeld was a show that was impossible to end satisfyingly.
But that show was—
How are you going to end that show?
How are you going to rag on them for having a quote-unquote satisfying ending? It's not like there's a bunch of storylines you have to wrap up. They just have to have it be interesting and kind of like a little bit unusual.
Yeah, and
they did.
The sitcom ending, they're totally different types of shows, obviously, than something like Game of Thrones. That's a hot take. Seinfeld, different than Game of Thrones.
Big time. Very much so.
But no, the old, multi-camera stage sitcom.
Of course.
How you generally wrap those up is with all the characters move on to some new thing in their life that is very gives everyone hope or a warm feeling.
Right.
You couldn't do that with Seinfeld.
They wouldn't do that with Seinfeld. Was a very kind of nihilistic,
it's like, what are you,
weird show.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Jerry and Elaine end up together. Like, that's what a normal show might do. You just couldn't do that with that show.
It's not that kind of show. No.
So just a couple of takes. You know what? The Office— not the ending, but the Steve Carell's final episode.
Yeah, dude.
One of the best episodes of TV I've ever seen.
Very good.
And then, geez, the show just kind of wasn't great after that.
No, it wasn't. But it also, but it had some moments. It had like some bright moments. I really like Robert California, played by James Spader.
I didn't watch much, man. I kind of drifted in and out after Carell left.
And then it's like Idris Elba's in it for a little bit. And
yeah, I didn't see any episode with
Will Ferrell plays David Brent's immediate replacement. Not David Brent. What's his name on the show? Michael Scott's immediate replacement for a couple episodes.
I didn't see him on there either.
It's very funny.
Geez, I don't know if I watched it at all, Noel, after he left.
Parks and Rec had a nice ending, a really heartwarming and also quite funny ending where it was like the future.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right. So let's see what the movie crushers have to say. BJ Linja says MASH. Casey Robert says Robert Yaw says Parks and Rec and Glee. Dean Pickett, Breaking Bad. J.J. Verbino, 6 Feet Under. Oh, yeah, man.
Dude.
What a great finale.
What a crusher.
Oh, God.
Sia song.
Oh, I'm like starting to get misty just
Help.
Thinking about that.
I have lost myself.
God. You know, I live kitty corner to a funeral home. My home is across, kitty corner.
Yeah, yeah.
From and it looks sort of like the Fisher House.
It's, I think, another one you're talking about.
Big on Memorial Drive. Mm-hmm. That's where I live. Mm-hmm. And it always gives me pleasant feelings because they also have a second house. And I think of Claire living upstairs of that second house.
That show wrecks me, dude.
Yeah.
I so love great. It so much.
David K. Gwynn Vaughn says, Newhart. Great ending. Juan Castaneda says, Sons of Anarchy. I never saw that.
I watched it for a while, but I fell off.
Yeah. Dave Priest, who supplied us with our previous post, said St. Elsewhere. Certainly a great, great ending, Noel. Did you know that show?
Nope.
St. Elsewhere was a hospital show in the, I guess it was the 80s. And I'm not going to spoil it. Yeah, I am going to spoil it. If you are going to go back and watch St. Elsewhere, everyone, don't listen to this next bit. At the end, Noel, the son of one of, I believe, I'm going to get this wrong. It's going to go in corrections corner, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe the son of one of the doctors who has autism, the very last shots of the show are of the hospital, and then it pulls back to reveal that this boy is, this hospital is in a snow globe that this boy is staring at.
What?
With the implication this whole thing has been in his imagination.
It's all a dream?
Sort of, but enough of a spin on that.
That it was clever?
That it was clever.
Okay.
I think so.
Interesting.
because, you know, that's a big trope, of course.
Is it weird? Is it a weird show?
No, it's not weird at all.
What the fuck?
You know what? I'm typing in St. Elsewhere finale. The Last One is what it's called. All right, here we go. From Vulture, on the 30th anniversary from last year, says one of the most famous endings of all in all of television. Dr. Westfall watches his son with autism, Tommy, stare at a snow globe that he gazes at all day long. What's he thinking about? He asks. Then the boy puts the snow globe down to prepare for bed, and the camera slowly zooms into the snow globe to reveal a miniature version of St. Allegia's Hospital. To make things weirder, the characters weren't the characters anymore. Westfall was now a construction worker rather than a doctor. Oh, that's right. And St. Allegia's Dr. Auslander, who had died earlier in the episode, was alive and well and was suddenly Tommy's grandfather. Wow. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Seems a little out of left field, though.
Oh, totally. All right. That's the point.
What was the public outcry or the public reaction?
Well, I mean, there was no social media, so who fucking knows?
Exactly. That's fair.
Back in the good old days when everyone's opinions were just inside their own homes. All right. Paul Armstrong says, Halt and Catch Fire. Have not seen it.
It's a hacker show, I think.
Yeah. Good ending, apparently.
Cool.
Brian Stevens says, The Wire, Cheers, Breaking Bad, and Mad Men. Boy, the end of Mad Men was great.
You know, I never finished Mad Men.
Whew, great ending.
Okay.
Noel.
We'll check it out.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. Jane Diaz says, The Americans. Don't watch it. Emily loves it, though. Stacey Coughlin says, Battlestar Galactica. Hands down, one of the best, most well-constructed series of all times. Sarah Stanislav, another vote for 6 Feet Under. Our old friend Mark Nowak says, Game of Thrones.
Crazy talk.
I don't know, man. You know, my friend Melissa, saw her over the weekend. She said that she liked it.
I actually read a piece in defense of it on some site. I can't remember. And they made some good points, but oh, man, no.
Yeah.
It just felt rushed and weird.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, maybe the actual end points the characters reached made sense if they had been handled differently.
Yeah.
It's a little more development, a little more like, you know, earning of the choices they made.
I hear you. That's a big thing, earning your arc. Adam Pracht, our old friend, says Homicide, Life on the Street. Alexander J. Reichert says, unpopular opinion here, but Lost. Ooh.
Yeah, that is an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
It
just wasn't very good.
No.
I mean, my theory on Lost, and I don't think I'm alone in this, but my theory on Lost is that they wrote themselves into a corner. Or maybe it's better said this way. They wrote checks that their butts couldn't cash.
Totally.
I don't think they really knew, like, oh, geez, there are a lot of things to tie up here, and we just can't do it.
And the thing is, too, like, when I was watching that show, I kind of was under the impression that they really had the whole thing laid out, that they knew what they were doing, that they weren't just dropping red herrings left and right, and that I was going to get some kind of satisfaction. And I think a lot of people felt that way too. So when it was so unsatisfying and literally broke their own promise that they made, where they said it wasn't going to be this thing, I found that a little bit irritating. But here's another thing though, Chuck. If you enjoyed a show and you enjoyed the ride and then the finale sucks, does that diminish your entire experience of the show? Do you throw the show under the bus because they wrote a check that they're, you know, they couldn't cash?
Hmm. Well, what's your take on Game of Thrones?
I think it's a great show that had a very poor last season.
Yeah, I think that's where I am. I really enjoyed Lost for a long time. I was way, way into it.
I was too.
I was on those boards, dude.
Me too, dude.
I was trying to figure out the numbers and all that shit.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, so it doesn't – maybe a little bit of a diminishing because like you, I'm like kind of just disappointed in – like you feel strung along a little bit, especially with Lost.
That's right. That's right.
Like, oh, you didn't know what you were doing the whole time. That's harsh to say. You didn't have a grand plan, which I think is what Breaking Bad did.
It's very clear that it did.
Yeah.
And that's how you keep yourself from having – that's how you keep from writing yourself into a corner is by having it all at least fleshed out in outline form. You know, at least you know the main beats that everything is going to hit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you don't have to just like improvise kind of, you know.
Yeah. Kieran Gandhi says, Firefly with the Serenity film. You know, Noel, I was late to Firefly, and then quite a few years ago, so many people had talked about it that I finally went and watched it all. And oh, did I love it. Did you watch Firefly?
It's really good.
It's so great.
It's really good acting, good writing, nice adventure, very fun, funny. Everything about it's cool.
Yeah.
It's like a more interesting Star Trek.
Well, I don't know Star Trek, but...
Star Trek's just so dull to me. I mean, like I said, I get why people like it, but to me, Firefly has... It ticks all the boxes that Star Trek ticks, but it's got more dynamic kind of, you know, exciting performances and stuff.
Yeah, and Serenity was great, too. Agreed, totally. Derek Speedy says, Scrubs, a show I never saw, apparently had a good ending. Sarah Jane says, ER. Raleigh Bartholomew says, Psych. Don't know that show, Noel.
Psych? Isn't that with Tony Shalhoub?
Oh, is it? Friend of the show?
I think so. No, no, it's not. Never mind. I'm thinking of Monk. But it's about like, it's sort of about, are they like ghost hunters or something? What do they do? Oh, it's based on the hit 1980s TV series Moonlighting.
What?
That's what it says on Wikipedia. It's a detective comedy drama.
All right, I see here partially inspired by Moonlighting.
Got it.
All right. Interesting. Justified, that's from Christine Cunningham.
That was
I watched
a good show.
Season one of that and really enjoyed it, and it just I sort of forgot about it.
I think I watched the whole thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm, I think I did.
Nice.
I really like, what's his name? The sheriff from Deadwood.
Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant, and I also really like Walton Goggins. He's a great
rednecky
Looney Tune. He's awesome.
He is awesome. I can watch him in anything. Did you watch Vice Principals?
No.
Oh, God, Noel, you'd love it.
Is it funny?
Yeah. It, you know, it's Danny McBride.
McBride, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Walton Goggins just sort of at each other as enemies and then eventually as allies. It's so good.
I just remembered. It's all coming back to me. I first saw Walton Goggins as like the loose cannon, like, shitbag cop in that show, The Shield.
Oh, I never
remember
saw
the
that.
Shield with
yeah, I know
the
show.
Guy who was
yeah.
Oh, what's the actor's
Michael,
name?
Michael
Chiklis.
Chiklis.
Chiklis. That's a good one.
Chiklets.
Exactly.
Walton Goggins has one of the best fucks in TV and film. When he says the F word, when he drops an F bomb, Noel, it's just there's something about it. The way he enunciates that F, it's always really really powerful. So hats off to him for that. We should have a Up With Fuck thing dedicated to Walton Goggins.
I would love that.
Do a super cut. Maggie Byrne says, Friends and Sex in the City. Yeah, the Friends finale, it ended about how it probably should have ended. I agree. Anastasia Boden says, Downton Abbey. Yeah. JB Lindenberger says, No Contest, 6 Feet Under, best series finale of all time ever. Hard to argue. Jacob Thompson says The Sopranos, which I know that got a lot of heat for that ending.
Don't stop.
Are you going to finish?
That's how it stops.
Oh, it didn't say believing?
No, it ends it with don't stop.
I knew it ended with that song, but I didn't know it cut it off like
that.
Yeah,
and it goes to black. That's the whole deal. Like, Tony's in there with his family. He's looking around. He's not particularly paranoid exactly, but everyone in there could be a potential, you know, assassin.
Whacker.
A whacker. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the fact that I think it's brilliant, the fact that you don't see it happen, that it could happen then, it could happen anytime. You know, he's going to live his life looking over his shoulder.
But you know that prequel's coming out soon with his son.
Dude, have you seen any pictures from the set?
Yeah, it looks great.
His son looks just like him.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's going to
be, I think, and it's the
what a tribute to.
It's the showrunner. I mean, it's going to be it's the real deal.
Yeah,
he's been working on it for a long time. It's going
to
be good.
I need to finish up The Sopranos. I think I missed the last couple of seasons.
I love it.
Yeah,
that was one of those shows where I had the privilege of coming in about halfway, so I got to binge a bunch of it, and then I watched it in real time for the last maybe 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. Jonathan B. Williams, I'm glad he mentioned this one. This is a great, great show that I think wasn't a little bit undersung. Extras, The Ricky Gervais Show on HBO.
So good.
And the ending to that was so good. And I know we've talked about that show before because I remember us singing Cat Stevens together.
I also think of Pathetic Little Fat Man, No One's Bloody Laughing, the David Bowie song. It's so good.
You know, we should do an I'm going to do a segment at some point about best TV show theme songs too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was thinking about this yesterday with Extras, Ricky Gervais always does it well because Extras had the Cat Stevens song, Tea for the Tillerman, which
That's
is
right.
great. And then
The Office had
the handbags and the glad rags
that your granddad had to sell so you could buy.
So great. Yeah, Rod Stewart.
Really great.
I think that was the Rod Stewart version, right?
Yes, on that show? Absolutely.
Yeah, so good. All right, everyone. That's it. Thanks to Vanessa and Dave for contributing and basically writing this episode. Your check is in the mail. Thanks for hanging in again while I'm sick. And I'm going to be better by next Wednesday when we record these again. And thanks for understanding. So, Noel, you got any parting shots?
No, sir.
Parting compliments?
I like you, Chuck. You're a good guy.
I like you too.
I hope you feel better. And I'm out of here. I'm off to take a little trip.
All right. Enjoy the acid.
Will do.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.